Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. This is your latest Manchester United transfer news. Lots to get into on the show this morning. Developments around Real Madrid and how that impacts on Tchouaméni. There's talk that we would be willing to spend up to £75 million on him. Do you believe that? We'll delve into that. Stuff from Spain, stuff from the UK as well. Also, further developments on Alex Scott, Somerville. Ta-da! It's Saar. He's being mentioned as well for Manchester United. And a few other bits to get into around Xerxes and the fullback position as well. Friday morning as well. A little bit about the World Cup if we've got time. But look, I just wanted to just touch on something very, very quickly at the start, because this transfer window is no longer in June. Like, things are happening. I mean, Spurs have signed about six players already while we're still saying it's very early in the window. You know what, Mark? It's very early in the window. Stop moaning. It's very, very early in the window. It is not very early in the window. And just to give you an example of why it's not very early in the window, obviously Anderson's gone to City. Tonali and Mateus Fernandes have gone to Spurs, as well as three or four other players. We only have Ederson. And it is very quiet for the first week in July. Now, predominantly, if you look at Man United over the last 13 years, most of our signings happen between the 1st of July and the 12th of July. Traditionally, that's when we do a lot of our deals. You know, you think back to Van Gaal and Schneiderlin, Schweinsteiger. This is the window. It's not happening. On top of that, remember a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned Touré, our Ivory Coast winger, plays on the left wing, had a very, very good season at Hoffenheim, was tentatively linked to us for about £40 million. I said he'd be a very interesting signing. He signed for Newcastle. That happened 2 days ago. I only found out about this last night on the Portugal stream. So deals are happening all over the place. I didn't even know he'd signed for Newcastle. So things are happening very, very quickly. But I want to start off with this from Jim. He says, Madrid's statement on Enzo Fernandez is not good for us. Yes, look, there's a lot. Hopefully many of you watched the show last night. I don't want to be right on this, but we have been ahead on the Tchouaméni story from March. You know, it's been backed up by good people in the last few weeks. But we said in March that Manchester United have held talks with Tchouaméni's representatives and he'd be open to a move to Man United if Real Madrid want to sell him. United have sort of put it out there in the last few days about the price, which always worries me. Last night, I had stuff about how it's very unlikely that Tchouaméni signs for Man United this summer, maybe next summer, but very unlikely it happens this summer. Last night, stuff came out, I think it was Ben Jacobs, Fabrizio Romano, I'll tell you what he said in a minute, about him being a dream signing for Manchester United. This morning, Real Madrid basically putting out a public statement respecting Chelsea and saying that they're not in for Enzo Fernandez. There are no bids, there are no talks. So, effectively, who are Real Madrid signing in their midfield? And it's July the 3rd. They won't sell anyone if they haven't bought at least two players, I don't think. So I think Tero wants David Ornstein to be sacked for saying that he said that United would be the busiest club this summer. He was predicting it, mate. And, you know, I think many people did predict that as well. So look, as it stands, Real Madrid are not selling any midfielder and it's the first week of July. They will buy before they sell, and they're not in talks to buy anybody at the moment. So Tchouaméni is playing for France tomorrow night in a World Cup game where they'll probably win, and then he'll be playing next week and the week after. They may well win the World Cup, which means he'll be playing in it for another 2 weeks. There is no bid, there is no talks, there is no prospect of Tchouaméni signing for Manchester United at the moment. And I would refer you to some of the stuff we've had this week from Man United journalists about Tchouaméni, talking about him being too expensive. I think that comes out because they know they can't get him. I think that comes out because they can't get hold of the player. So look, there are a couple of bits, certainly, to just mention in relation to Tchouaméni, but I would phrase it that, you know, Real Madrid have come out in the last, you know, few hours, you know, almost apologising for the connections to Chelsea's Enzo Fernandez. So, I stand by what I said before. So essentially, what we've got around Tchouaméni is that Ben Jacobs said last night that he could be available for around £70 million. And Fabrizio Romano has said that Alex Scott is highlighted as one of Manchester United's internally highly rated midfield targets this summer, alongside Tchouaméni, with Arsenal also liking him. So a couple of stories last night about the two names that Man United consider internally as fantastic options for the midfield are Tchouaméni and Scott. Obviously, that's as of today. I think 2 weeks ago, it probably included players that have signed for other clubs now. But I'll repeat what I've said before. For me, I think we're almost entering the spin stage, like we're spiraling out of control, because this is just regurgitation of stories that we've had for weeks and nothing's happened. Like I said, Tchouaméni leaving Real Madrid and being open to a move to Manchester United has been known for 3 months and we've not done anything. And actually, in those 3 months, we're probably moving further and further away from doing the deal, because Real Madrid haven't bought a midfielder and they're not linked to a midfielder at the moment. Tchouaméni will be in the World Cup until the end of this month, and then he'll have a holiday, and then the Premier League will have started. So even if we tried to do a deal for him, which is very unlikely, we're talking right at the end of the transfer window, even if we do it. So it's not imminent. We're not about to bid. And effectively, Man United have proven this summer transfer window that they can't knock on the door of a club that's not really a willing seller and get a deal done. West Ham were a willing seller and we couldn't do it. Forest were a willing seller and we couldn't do it. Newcastle were a willing seller and we couldn't do it. At what point are we going to knock on the door of a club that doesn't want to sell? I mean, it's literally like those two magnets that won't go together. We can push as hard as we can, but they will never meet, because club doesn't want to sell, Man United don't want to spend. How the hell is this going to happen? So I call spin on this with Tchouaméni. I know what I know, and I'm not saying that things can't change. I mean, Man United, fingers crossed, will abandon everything that they're doing around their pitiful approach to transfer fees and wages. I'd love them to drop £80 million on the floor of the Bernabeu and £250,000 a week for Tchouaméni and say, let's party. I'd love them to do that. And if they do, maybe that deal can happen. But we're not likely to do that. So when I think it's almost getting to the point of, I feel sorry for some of the good journalists that they're having to keep using the name of Tchouaméni, because I genuinely think and partially know that it's just not something that's imminent at the moment. So, and I would stick with what I said last night, it's deal off more than it's deal on. And I suppose that's the vacuum of what happens when you spend a month going after Matheus Fernandes and you almost get complacent. I think we've got complacent. I think when we look at Cunha and we look at Mbeumo, those deals did take a long time, but we had the player buy-in and we knew in the end we'd get what we want. I think we thought we were going to get Matheus Fernandes. I thought we were like, look at all the fans moaning. Look at them moaning. In the end, we'll be absolutely fine. And we haven't ended up fine. And we've lost a month. And I think we're now going, just put a story out about Tchouaméni. Just give Fabrizio a story about Tchouaméni. We need more time. We need more time. And I don't think they know where they're going next. So I think with Tchouaméni, yes, there's stories out of Spain again that he is for sale. But where are Real Madrid going? And why would you sell Tchouaméni at the moment? And I think that is becoming, it's exactly what I said last night. I don't think Real Madrid want to sell him. Why would you sell a player that's doing really well in the World Cup right now, in a position who does a job that Mourinho loves? Mourinho loves that defensive midfield position. He hasn't got anybody else. Even if he got Rodri and Rodri does his knee, he hasn't got anybody else. I think their plan is to keep him, and he will want to stay. If they don't want him, he'll come to Man United. If they want him to stay, he'll stay where he is. So I think that's where it is. Donate says, guesswork, Bridge. Mate, you're not going to rage bait me. Like, I know where I know the information from, and I know we were first on it 3 months ago. So you can call it guesswork. What I would acknowledge is that if United put their arse into gear and offer £80 million for Tchouaméni, they maybe will get him. But it's not guesswork, mate. I think the guesswork is what's going on externally about what Man United are going to do next. But believe what you like. It doesn't really bother me massively. Talking about Alex Scott, let's just pick up on this because Fabrizio also said that Scott is highlighted as one of Man United's internally highly rated midfielders, with Arsenal also liking him as well. After missing out on other players, both clubs, both Arsenal and Manchester United, view Scott positively, but Bournemouth currently insist on keeping the player and are offering him a new contract, meaning he's not for sale right now. However, if Bournemouth receives big proposals and opens the door to an exit, Arsenal and Man United are the two clubs to watch closely as keen suitors. Now, look, I like Fabrizio and he's just doing his job, but even in his own update, it contradicts who we are. You know, he says Bournemouth are not selling Alex Scott at the moment and want him to sign a new contract. However, if there is big offers, they may open the door and Man United are watching the situation closely. But Man United and big offers don't go together, do they? And I agree with Stuart. I don't think there's any chance of Alex Scott. I really don't. I don't think there's any chance of Tchouaméni today, and I don't think there's any chance of Alex Scott. And hence the thumbnail spin. I think United are in a downward spiral, desperately trying to attach themselves onto something that will stop it, where fans will go, this is not a mess. But it's very obvious to me, look, unless Alex Scott turns into a Antony situation or an Isak situation where he's refusing to train and, you know, he's demanding a move, I don't see how that develops. I really don't see how that develops. And I also would advise Alex Scott not to do that. I don't really like players who do that. I don't think it bodes well for them as a character to do that. I don't think that's a Manchester United player to shit on the club that gave you a platform to get a move. Some United fans love it. Some Man United fans love it when a player basically goes on strike to get a move to United. But that player could do that to us in 3 years' time to go to Real Madrid. So it's not really a trait I like. But unless that happens, that may be the only way this happens. You know, if Alex Scott turns up to Bournemouth's training ground and says, I'm not training, I'm on strike, and he's walking around in the latest Man United kit, we probably will get him because the price will have to come down and Bournemouth will have to sell eventually. It might not happen till late August, but it would force a move. But you know, that's not being good at transfers, is it? That's just being lucky that look, ultimately, Alex Scott becomes your director of football, not Jason Wilcox. If Alex Scott goes on strike saying, I want to sign for Man United, he basically does Jason Wilcox's job getting the price down, doesn't he? So I don't think that's very likely. I don't think that's very likely at all. But, you know, they're the two big stories this morning, Tchouaméni and Alex Scott. And honestly, and there's another update from Simon Jones in the Daily Mail, which I'll read you in a minute. But honestly, I think that I have to be honest, we bring the news and we don't, you know, censor it. And you make your own opinion up. Some people will go, well, I like this news. I believe in this news. My opinion is that Tchouaméni is a long way off being a deal that we can do. And I don't think we'll get it done. And Alex Scott, to me, is a harder deal to do than Matheus Fernandes because West Ham were a willing seller, albeit expensive. Bournemouth do not want to sell. Alex Scott has Arsenal interested in him. We had Spurs going for Matheus Fernandes. So I think on paper, Alex Scott's a harder deal to do than Matheus Fernandes. Now, if Man United abandon what they're about... Now, look, this is where I think Man United rescue their transfer window. If Man United abandon the we're not going to pay over £70 million and we're not going to pay over £200,000 a week, they can sign Alex Scott, they can sign Tchouaméni, but have they behaved like they're going to abandon what they're all about? I don't know. And I know that's I know ultimately that would be hypocrisy from the club, but that is what I think needs to happen. I think we need to abandon what we're all about if we're going to get these deals done. But look, honestly, I'll still say this to you now. I think in relation to Manchester United's next signing, and I know Ben Jacobs said something about this yesterday, I feel like United's next midfield signing isn't Alex Scott or Tchouaméni. I feel like there is another story that's going to come out where we're going to go towards somebody that maybe doesn't have a load of people after him that fits into our financial
parameters, which is why I'm just throwing the name out, Manu Kone, because I feel that he is a player that we spoke to last season that we really liked. He will definitely be under 70, 60 million pounds, and his wages will definitely be under 200 grand a week. Maybe Sanderberg, maybe Belaba, but I feel they've got another player lined up. That's not going to be marquee. Not going to be marquee, far from it. The piece on Simon Jones came out last night as well, Daily Mail. He basically said this: Manchester United have held, and I did do a video to this, I knocked it out in the early hours of the morning, the video. Manchester United have held exploratory talks with West Ham over signing Somerville, though any move depends on Rashford departing first. I mean, that we'll come back to that. While their priority remains strengthening midfield after missing out on Matheus Fernandes. As they explore alternatives, United are expected to ask Bournemouth about the valuation and potential availability of highly rated young midfielder Alex Scott as they consider their next steps in the transfer market. I personally think this is the best update we've had in a few days. Not because Simon Jones in the Daily Mail is better than David Ornstein or Fabrizio Romano or anyone like that, but because it gives us a snapshot of where we are. And I would imagine, I'm just running a poll for you about Somerville as well, because we're going to talk about him next and how we're obviously stuck already in a sell to buy situation, which pisses me off. But I like the update because it really does give a sense of the situation and the urgency that we have. Man United priority remains the midfield after missing out on Matheus Fernandes. They are exploring alternatives and are expected to speak to Bournemouth about the valuation and availability of Scott as they consider their next steps in the transfer market. People, it's the 3rd of July. It's not the 3rd of August. Sorry, it's not the 3rd of April. It's not the 3rd of March. This should have been done then. This is preparatory work. You know, it's the 3rd of July and we're inquiring with Bournemouth about the valuation and availability of a midfielder, and we're considering what we want to do next on the 3rd of July, and that, I'm sorry, is panic stations. That is not good enough. This is a bit of a shit show, because what we should be in is, and this is how I would do it, right? I've got Elliot Anderson, I've got Tonali, I've got Chimini, I've got Matheus Fernandes, I've got Alex Scott, right? They're my top five targets, yeah? I'm in talks with all of them. I'm preparing the deal with all of them. I'm speaking to Bournemouth already. I've got an idea of what Bournemouth want already. Well, yeah, but that's option five. If we end up with that, then we're in trouble. Yeah. But if we're in trouble, let's make sure we've done some legwork. It feels to me like we've dropped the ball, in the sense that we're almost here in this week as a club going, we better speak to Bournemouth. We better go and speak to Bournemouth. And realistically, as many will you say, and I would call it Emily Derry FC because I remember her super chat, we've had 12 months. We know Casemiro was leaving in January. Like, why have we not compiled a list and progressed all those deals to a point where you can move from one to the other? I'm not saying have each of the players ready to sign for Man United, because that's really harsh. But what I am saying is, you know, what difference does it make in mid-June to have spoken to Bournemouth about what the situation is with Alex Scott? Because if they say no in the middle of June, they're not going to say yes at the start of July. Why have we not had these talks with Bournemouth? Why have we not gone to Bournemouth and said, look, if we offer you £80 million for Alex Scott, will you do a deal? No. Okay. We know we've got to go north of that. If we offer you 75, will you do a deal? You know, these things are...
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
But we can't do more... We've never been able to do more than one deal at once. And that's the problem. And how many deals have Spurs been working on at once? I don't know. I don't even know how many. Andy Robertson's there. Senesi's there. Van Heck is there. Matheus Fernandes is there. Sandro Tonali is there. So they've done five deals by the by by the start of July. They've obviously worked on at least three deals at once. They've definitely worked on Matheus Fernández and Tonali at the same time. We can't work on one deal. We can't work on more than one deal. And if that deal comes crashing down, that's dead time. So I like the update from Simon Jones because it shows the priority is the midfield, but it also shows that we're sort of sat there this week going, what do we do next? And I think that, and I said this to you in May, I think Ederson almost was a hint of our desperation this summer and our lack of foresight and our lack of planning. And I'll explain to you why. I think with Ederson, what happened is we came into this summer not really very confident. We came into this summer knowing what we wanted, but not thinking we could get it. We've been scouting Ederson for 4 years, maybe longer, but certainly I remember doing a video on Ederson 4 years ago. We go and sign Ederson, right? We were nowhere near Ederson in January. He nearly signed for Atletico Madrid, and if he'd done it, we would have lost out. But we go and sign Ederson right at the start of the window. You know what I think that is? I think that's opening up the database and going, there's a player we quite liked, but we never went for. There's a player where we've done all the scouting on. There's a player where we know everything about them. Do we go for them? And I think that's what they did. I think they went, we don't really know what we're doing here. We can't really get what we want. So let's look at our past scouting and find a player from there. Oh, there's Ederson. And that doesn't make Ederson a bad player, but it's a player where we've done the work on it already. And I think we've gone, let's take him. I have a feeling we might do the same this week. I have a feeling we may go back to data that we've used before and go, let's take a punt on that, which obviously brings Belaba back into it. But also, that's why I'm mentioning Manu Kone, because I think Manu Kone, I don't think United are stupid. I think they know if they signed Belaba, it would be expensive and a lot of people would be against it. Manu Kone is a player that we looked at last summer. He will be in the data, the Ineos data, and I think they might move on that. Obviously, a lot of people in the chat are saying clearly it's going to be Belaba. The thing I'd say about Belaba that I think is the most damning thing as well, and I haven't really heard anybody talk about this, but we were talking about it on That's Football last night. If Belaba is so good, why is the manager that got the best out of him and is at a club buying midfielders with a budget of £200 million, why has De Zerbi not gone for Belaba? If Belaba is so good and such a hidden gem, why is the manager that bought him and got the best out of him not gone for him? Spurs could have gone for Belaba and they went for Tonali and Fernandez instead. So I don't think we're going to go for Belaba. It's a nightmare. And, you know, nightmares do come true at United. But logically, I don't think we will. I also think that Brighton don't want to sell him this summer. And I think Brighton would say to Manchester United, hey, up, Fernandez has just gone for 85 million. Anderson's just gone for 116 million. So the price of him may change it. But look, honestly, what I would say this morning is that when it comes to a midfielder, you've probably got as much idea as Fabrizio or David Ornstein at the moment. And that's not a criticism. They're the two best people who will know. I don't think United know themselves what they're about to do. So I certainly don't think any of the press do. And as I said, the two names that are being mentioned, Tchouaméni and Scott, you're probably in the right place for the right conversation. Because as I said last night, Tchouaméni, massively unlikely, despite stories, massively unlikely, because Real Madrid don't want to sell at the moment. They've got no other midfielder that they're buying at the moment. Tchouaméni would rather stay at Real Madrid than go anywhere. He's got 2 years left on his contract, so maybe it happens next summer. He won't be back from the World Cup until the middle of August, and United ain't about to start bidding for him. So very unlikely, probably not going to happen. Alex Scott, Bournemouth don't want to sell. West Ham wanted to sell and we couldn't do a deal. Forest wanted to sell and we couldn't do a deal. Bournemouth don't even want to sell, which adds another 10 million on straight away. If you've got a player that's worth 60 million, but the club don't want to sell, you've got to add a premium on anyway. You can't walk up to any Premier League club and saying, hey, we like James Garner and we think his value is 50 million. Everton are going to go 75. Hey, we like Lewis Hall. We don't want to sell. well, we think the price is 55 million. Yeah, we don't want to sell it 75. So we are not going to get a bargain out of Bournemouth. We're just not going to get a bargain out of Bournemouth. And I think that makes that deal virtually impossible. So for me, and it might be a personal take, Tchouaméni and Scott, we're probably going to get a load of noise about them. We might even get the ITKs out. We might even get some journalists out. But I think both those stories at the moment are spin. In the sense that they're logical, they're definitely logical, and they're definitely two players we should be going for. But we haven't gone for the players we should go for this summer, and I don't think it's about to change now. I'd love to be wrong, but I don't think I am. So where we're going to end up on our next two midfielders gets scary, doesn't it? I think Manu Kone is interesting. Maybe Stiller, you know, don't rule out Favel pushing that. And what happened last summer as well is on the striker, we didn't get Wilcox's Delap. We didn't get Amrim's Gyökeres. We didn't get, I think Amrim wanted Watkins as well, if I remember correctly. We couldn't afford Osimhen. We ended up turning to Favel and going, now it's up to you. And he said Sesko. So we might turn to Favel again and he might say Stiller. So, you know, but I certainly think the biggest kick in the face or the nuts for Man United has been the story they've been telling about we won't overpay. And look at what we did with Mbeumo and Cunha. And none of those things are relevant this summer. There are no players that are desperate to sign for Man United. And there are no Premier League players that fit that bill as well. So all this championing this season about, well, look at our recruitment. It's really good. We don't overpay and we go for Premier League proven players. Who are these Premier League proven players? Which did work. You know, I put my hands in the air. Cunha and Mbeumo, Premier League proven players, have worked well. We did end up in third place. They have worked well. But I think United patted themselves on the back so hard, they've ended up in Europe. In the sense that the market in the Premier League, they can't get value for money. So, you know, it's not going to happen. And also, even Beth yesterday quote tweeted a tweet about how Ineos, Glinios, whatever you want to call them, tried to claim a good summer transfer window last summer. Le Mans was bought on the final day of the window because the club wanted to keep Onana or Bielsa and it went wrong. So they listened to Tony Cotin, the goalkeeping coach. Sesko was option E and they listened to Favel. And then Cunha and Mbeumo both did interviews saying how Amrim persuaded them to come. So, you know, there is no Ineos masterclass. It was literally all our signings, and two of them literally said it. I mean, look, if you want to be honest with yourself, all right, you might not like Amrim as a coach, but Mbeumo and Cunha basically came out and said what Tonali and Fernandez have just said about De Zerbi. It was the project. It was the coach that got them to do it. Let me talk to you about Somerville next. Would you be happy with Somerville? 56% of you say no, 44% of you say yes. We're going to talk about him next. Marlowe says, you can't do many deals at once if you don't know what you are and what you want. It's hard to find a good gift for a person you don't know and love, says Marlowe. Thank you. Apparently, Gomez to Madrid has collapsed, says Paul Govia. Gomez? I'm surviving on very little sleep, Paul. But I shouted you out the other day for some advice, and I can't remember what it was. I really am very forgetful at the moment because I haven't had enough sleep. Gomez to Madrid? Who would Gomez be? I know Enzo Fernandez has collapsed. Can't think who Gomez would be. What about someone like Siddiqui at Sunderland? Again, nudgeable. I think you might be you might not be wrong about that. You might not. Oh, Paul, you were the one who said 90-minute cycle naps for the win. Yes, very good. João Gomez to Atletico Madrid has collapsed. Well, if we end up with two Brazilian midfielders who don't start for Brazil for £40 million, I think that's not good enough. I was thinking about Enzo Fernandez to Real Madrid. Paul's talking about João Gomez to Atletico Madrid. I mean, if we end up with João Gomez and Ederson, I'm sorry, that's a bit shit. That's a little bit Everton again, isn't it? United makes me depressed, Mark. Carrick and no midfield. This channel keeps me going, says Dan. And likewise, I completely agree. At least look, you know what? We say it how it is here. Actually, just before I talk about Somerville and go through your super chats, I must read you this. I got sent you this today. And I want to preface this by saying I found this funny, okay? So there's a Twitter account called UTD Tribune, right? And I'm not slagging them off. I just find this funny, right? They tweeted this. Mark Goldbridge sits in front of a green screen in his home and collects your money. He does not spend money on best in class or constantly look to improve his production and content. He doesn't hire the best in class. Don't let him fool you. So what this person is saying, and I don't know who it is because it's just an account, they're saying that because I sit here and agree with many of you that United is run badly, they don't recruit best in class, they don't have your best interests at heart, and you know they're sinking the club, I basically do the same. So I sit behind a green screen, first and foremost. This ain't no green screen. It's a long time since we've been behind a green screen. Second of all, he collects your money. If people want a super chat, we read them out and we have a debate, but predominantly this content is free. He does not spend money on best in class or constantly look to improve his production and content. Well, according to Simon Jordan, I started off in my mum's bedroom. We've now got a studio in Manchester, which costs a considerable amount of money a month. I think we have upped our production, and I think we're always looking to improve. He doesn't hire best in class. We pay all our staff, mate. We're always looking for talent. And to be fair, is there not a lot of United stand, you know, versions from people that started off on here who decided to go and do their own thing and copy it? So you and they do reasonably well. So again, I would imagine that they do quite well. And also, mate, correct me if I'm wrong, but 3 months ago, in our quest to be the best and improve, did we not sell a proportion of this business to somebody else to take it to the next level so we can get major investment in? So I'd say that we, you know, as much as that might be sarcasm or anything like that, I think we do run the United stand exactly how I'd like to see Man United run, to be honest with you. We do invest, we do look for investment, and we do look to always be the best and move and innovate and develop talent as well. So I would like Manchester United to follow some of the principles of United. And also, without blowing my own trumpet and without blowing your own trumpet, I think we are best in class as well. So I actually think the principles of what we've built with the United stand is best in class. And I think we do things that United should do. And also, when we had that Qatari moment, we took it, you know, we didn't take on more debt or anything stupid like that. So yes. But of course, I did find it funny because, you know, how you can compare a football fan channel to the way Man United's been running to the ground is quite funny. But of course, on a serious note, we're not being run properly. Manchester United, we're not being run properly. And, you know, you shouldn't be comparing the way Man United's run to the way a fan community is run. You should be comparing the way Manchester United's being run to Tottenham at the moment. And we're a long way behind. I'd love to be comparing us to Arsenal or Manchester City, but I think Tottenham, I think Tottenham actually... And I never thought I'd say these words. What Tottenham have done over the last 3 months is literally the blueprint for what we should have done. We should have gone out and got an experienced manager, not a coach, a manager, because De Zerbi is running that recruitment process, not Tottenham's director of football. We should have done that. That's not Carrick's fault. Let's hope Carrick does well. And by now, we should have signed 5 key players and spent what it took to do it. And Spurs have done that. And I think that, you know, people talk about protests and removing the Glazers. That's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. There's no appetite for it to happen. You know, fans would love it to happen, but no one knows how to make it happen. But if there was ever a need to look at how bad we are as a football club, just look at Tottenham. Look at what Tottenham have done in the last 3 months, and that should have been us. And we've just sat there and watched a club that was fourth from bottom go and do exactly what we should have done. 5 or 6 players in very quickly, a manager that's being listened to and has the power and experience and pull to go and make it happen, and money spent to improve the football club. And we've sat there and gone third place. And I tell you what, talk about the World Cup. Portugal were shit last night, in my opinion, and they took Bruno off and their goalkeeper was man of the match. But Bruno in this World Cup has been shocking. Now, I think that comes down to the coach. But I do think Portugal aren't getting the best out of Bruno. But it just shows you, Bruno's not Mr. Invincible. If things start to go wrong, Bruno can play bad. And that's what shits, that's scaring me a lot. Bruno's our best player and he's broken the assist record. And I've got no reason to believe that won't continue next season. But do not for 1 minute think that Bruno is invincible. Watch him in this World Cup. If things start to go wrong around him, somebody said, like, why doesn't somebody just man mark Bruno Fernandes? I don't know. Because if you take Bruno out, what happens to Man United? It's scary. We are so, you know, we may as well be called Bruno United, because without Bruno Fernandes next season, we ain't even in third. We're not even in the Champions League. Joel says, United board is similar to me. We think we are ambitious and manifest, but in reality, we're just a dreamer. The ones behind are ahead and we think there is still time. Never ending failures, says Joel. Joel, don't do yourself down. You know, we all know what Man United need to do to be successful. They just won't do it. You can do it, Joel. How far to you is Onana from Casemiro level, says Raz. I mean, that's a strange one. About as far as Edinburgh to the North Pole. I think United have ramped up their use of agents and bots in this chat. The amount of shit you get for criticising the board has increased manifold, says Marlow. Marlow, I mean, that's not really the world I operate in. But Jack says, Mark, Theo's top is from Selfridges. Yeah, but what's the brand, Jack? What's the brand? You know what, Marlow, on that, it was something I noticed a few months ago. And as much as I would like to say, you know, you make a valid point. Bots are a real thing. There used to be an influx of like porn bots on YouTube about a year ago. If you looked in the replies, it was always an avatar with some, you know, a big pair of you-know-whats. And, you know, so you can get botted. And, you know, you could argue it's in United's interest to have bot accounts out there promoting positivity. And maybe that does happen. Because logically, how you can batch this, how you can back the board on this situation is scary. But you know what, Marlow? There are actually Man United content creators who are rimming the Glazers on a daily basis. Now, I don't know why they're doing that. Maybe they're just, you know, mentally challenged when it comes to what's best for the football club. But they're not bots, as far as I know. So there are people out there that think everything's okay. So people say we need to convince players to come with the project. How can you convince them when this board has abandoned 2 projects in 3 years? Great point. Great point. Great point, Patrick. You know, down tools and force a move to Man United. Yeah. How's your projects going? Exactly. Good morning, Mark and the United Stand, says Shane. Good morning, pal. Thanks for being a member for 5 months. Is it just me? Does anyone else get the feeling Tottenham are copying United's homework? Will United actually buy anyone? Not optimistic at all. Trevor, I don't think you can accuse Tottenham of copying our homework, because if Man United were sat there doing their homework with all the right answers and Tottenham were over our shoulder writing them down, Tottenham have handed that homework in and got the results. We've done the homework, got everything right, and then gone and used it as toilet paper. We didn't hand it in. We didn't get a score. We've no planned style of play. At Middlesbrough, he had an out-and-out 6. We seem to be shopping for a techie double pivot and a sitting destroyer. We're clueless, says John. Spaniard says, United are a dusted club living off past glories. Sit back and watch the De Zerbi dynasty up the Spurs. See, we're getting infiltrated by Spurs now. Done that one. I don't understand why you would advise Scott not to push for a Man United move. Isn't that just wanting the club to fail, says Rowe?
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
I think I've already explained this. Anthony pushed through a move out of Ajax and ended up doing the same out of Man United to Betis. I do not want players who behave like that, because we've spent so many years talking about the personality of players needed at Man United and how Jadon Sancho wasn't the right personality and Alexis Sanchez wasn't the right personality and so on and so on. And then we've got United fans saying, I really hope Alex Scott shits on Bournemouth and puts a transfer request in and refuses to train so we can get him for cheap. And I'm sort of like, no, why don't we just pay what Alex Scott's worth and he maintains being a good footballer with a, you know, the right attitude. I don't want the wrong attitude players just because it's going to save us £20 million and do Jason Wilcox's job for him. I don't think it's I never think it's a good trait when a player is going on strike. I don't. I know it benefits us, but I don't think in the long term it does. It's the wrong traits for me. I saw someone on X peddling the Martinez in midfield thing again after we missed out Fernandes and Tonali. This is one inch wonder. Well, it's Mazraoui at left back. You know, Xerxes is going to stay and be the backup striker. Martinez in the midfield, you know, square pegs in round holes again. Ryan says Scott's not a six. He can play there, but he's an eight. And Patrick Lynch says our parameters around signings are arbitrary that have locked us into speculation around certain targets. The only parameter that matters is price. Edison proves that. Not Premier League proven, and he'll soon be 27. Yeah, I agree. I think what Patrick's basically saying is a lot of these parameters that United peddle are actually fake. What it really comes down to is how cheap are you? What happened with the 60 million parked for Semenyu as swap? I don't know. We might be using it for something else now. We all know we're getting Belaba. Why didn't the club get him first? Now he's a panic buy and will cost us more than when we offered last year, says Dan. This window gives me horrible vibes from a few years ago when we bought Cavani and others as panic buys, says Owen. I hate unpredictable windows for us. It may keep us on our toes, but knowing what's going on ahead of time is better. Would you take Manzambi and Kone at this rate, says JSD. Look, I like that Manzambi, and it's got nothing to do with the World Cup. And to be honest with you, I didn't even check what the score was in the Belgium game. In the Switzerland game, but they did win 2-0 against Algeria. So he's a good player. I mean, he played in the Europa League final, didn't he? And I think he looked like he was Freiburg's best player. So that Ayazabal could be a great backup for Sesko, says Ryan. United only went for Mateus Fernandes because he had expressed admiration for Bruno and the board thought it would be an easy deal. Wanting players to do the work for them is embarrassing and incompetent, says Marlowe. Well, I saw Mateus Fernandes do that thing where he was asked who is his favourite player and he's got a Spurs shirt on as a new signing and he said Bruno Fernandes. And some people said, oh, he's mocking us already. I just think that's an indication of how bad we are at recruitment, because if Mateus Fernandes' favourite player is Bruno Fernandes, how do you not sign him? Well, it's very simple. We didn't put the bid in. We didn't bid enough for us to get him. Because I think if we had bid the right amount of money, we would have got him. I think he would have chose Man United over Spurs if it was the same bid. But Spurs put a bid in that we wouldn't bid. So we walked. We walked away. You know, it's a bit like, you know, you're in a dance, you're in a nightclub. You've had a dance with your dream girl. Someone else has had a dance with the dream girl. She says, I'll tell you in five minutes who's going to get the next dance and the other one can do one. But you walk off and don't wait for the result. We walked away. So if you don't offer the money, you don't get the player, do you? I've seen this movie before. Nigel de Chiumini, says Lee Geldert. Jeff says, hi, Mark. Would you sign New England's... I don't know who that is, sorry. Hello, Mark. Is it possible that you are the one who does the Ben Jacobs interview next week, noticing that a lot of the supporters, myself included, aren't really deriving anything from his answers, says Bus. I can look at it, yeah. I honestly think this board think we're stupid and think we're all distracted by the World Cup, says Alexander. And Anto says Bergvall's on 860 grand a week at Spurs and transfer listed. João Gomes to Atletico Madrid is off. Not glamorous, but achievable considering the awful parameters. And so, if we end up with Edison, Bergvall and João Gomes, that is shit. But it's better than nothing. But it's shit. It's shit. And if we end up buying Bergwijn from Spurs to help them fund Tonali and Matheus Fernandes, then we really are Spurs' bitch. Like, it would be embarrassing. I do like Bergwijn, but if we buy Bergwijn to fund Spurs' Tonali and Matheus Fernandes, where are we in the food chain? We're below Spurs, aren't we? So it would be embarrassing, but maybe that's about as good as we can do now. Rail's statement on Enzo shows control. United love to feed out. We want everyone, letting fans get carried away. Then to not back it up with a new signing, says Harv. And Ineos better if we're after old Glazer target, says Mo. Mark, are the rumours true about United looking into Sarr from Palace? Keep up with the entertainment on the World Cup streams. I really enjoyed it, says Dino. Yeah, we had a good night last night. I'll tell you what, I'm knackered today, though. I'm going to need a day's sleep today. But I wanted that game to go to extra time. I did. I felt so bad for Croatia, but I am tired today. Are the rumours about Sarr true? We're going to talk about Somerville next. Patrick says, Spurs basically doing what we should have done last summer with Amrin. Like him or not, but we don't truly know what could have happened if he was back like Roberto De Zerbi. What manager has been sacked? They've all been sacked. What manager has been backed, Patrick? Out of all the managers we've had, did Mourinho truly get backed? Look, I saw Perisic score a bloody good goal at about 92 last night. That was the player that Mourinho wanted in his prime, didn't get, got the sack. How many players did Ten Hag really want? How many players did Ollie really want? You know, he didn't want Van der Beek. How many players did Amrin really want? We don't back managers and then they get sacked. I'm bored of saying it. I'm sure everybody else is. You know, Amrin's the problem. Ollie's the problem. Ten Hag is the problem. Mourinho is the problem. But every single one of them didn't get plan A and B options very often. And they end up with the sack. And who causes that? The same people who fuck our summer up every year. The real problem at Man United is the same people messing up this summer transfer window. It's not actually the manager. It's the owners. And we're here every bloody year going round the same bloody cycle, hoping for something different to happen. Okay, let me talk to you about Somerville. So numerous people talking about Jimmy Somerville. Sorry, not Jimmy Somerville. Crescencio Somerville of West Ham coming to Manchester United. Apparently we've held talks with West Ham about doing this. However, Simon Jones in the Daily Mail is saying that we would have to decide what we're doing with Rashford first. There is, excuse me, I'm surprised I've not done more of these. Let's have a sip of water. There is also a story coming in, I think it was Alex Crook, about Sarr from Crystal Palace. Ta-da! It's Sarr. We are where we are. We're apparently holding talks with Somerville at West Ham. We might go for Sarr. I actually thought Touré of Hoffenheim would have been an interesting one at a good price. He's going to Newcastle. If he goes to Newcastle and tears it up, we can take the piss out of United on that because I think he's a good signing, but you know, we'll see what happens. With regards to Somerville, I think it's a bit of a meh signing, if I'm being completely honest. I did a video on it already, so I'm not going to delve into the player too much. We do need a right-footed winger, and he is a right-footed winger. But again, it feels a bit like an Everton signing. I don't feel like it's the sort of signing that you get up off your chair and go, we're back. He's cheap as well. I think he's a good player, but is it the sort of signing that takes Man United to winning the league? No, not for me. Is it the sort of signing that's going to make Man United win the Champions League? No, not for me. I think it's a decent signing. I don't think it's a particularly world-breaking signing. But the most interesting part about it for me is actually how we've got to sell to buy to do that. So it's not something that's going to happen for a very long time, is it? It's... we've got to decide what's happening with Rashford before we go for Somerville. Well, correct me if I'm wrong, Rashford's at a World Cup and it doesn't seem to me like we're going to find out what's happening with Rashford anytime soon. So effectively, is this not just more spin? We're in talks with Somerville, but we can't do anything till we know what's happening with Rashford.
We might not know what's happening with Rashford for 2 months. So what even is the Somerville story? One, I don't think it's massively exciting. And two, it's not like you're going to bid for him today, because you've got to wait to see what's happening with Rashford. And we've already been down this road before. We're signing Ugarte, right? And we know about it in July, but it won't happen until we've got rid of McTominay. McTominay doesn't get sold till the end of August. We don't sign Ugarte until the end of August. So, you know, we want De Ligt and we want Mazraoui in July, but we need to move some players on first. We don't sign them till the middle of August. So, you know, even if you're excited about Somerville, and fair play if you are, it's clearly not going to be a deal that happens for a few weeks anyway. So I go back to what I said after the Tchouaméni and Scott updates, which I just do not believe. It feels like we're not even in talks with anyone, you know? And we've proven again that we're still averaging 4 to 6 weeks from starting talks to getting a deal done. Matheus Fernandes, if he'd signed for Man United, it would have been about 5 weeks. We're not even in talks with anyone now. So I don't even know if we're going to sign anyone in early July like we normally do, because we're not in talks with anybody. And even if Somerville develops, you still got to wait for Rashford to decide what he's doing before we can even move on that. There was one other thing on Xerxes that came in from The Athletic. On Xerxes, not aware of anything. Roma were interested in January. That's not a priority at the moment. So, you know, I mean, I mentioned this yesterday about Xerxes. Explain to me how Man United are happy with a player that has been poor for 2 years, not been used by the current manager, hasn't gone to the World Cup, could easily have been told to find a new club. Explain to me why, in the first week of July, he's preparing to come back for pre-season like he's an important part of the squad. I just don't get it. I just don't get the Xerxes thing. Why he's not been told to go, I do not know. And look, he's happy at United. We know that. He's happy at United. He's happy being a, you know, bench player. So I think with Xerxes, it's just everywhere you look at the moment, there's not a lot to be happy about, is there? We're not moving players out. Obviously, Ugarte got that bad injury at the weekend. Rashford's got to have his talks with United. Xerxes staying, Mount staying, Luke Shaw staying. Maguire's obviously signed a new contract. There's no prospect of anybody going out, and there's no prospect of anyone coming in at the moment. So at the moment, you know, a transfer window is about selling and buying. And at the moment, it's an absolute shit show on both. It won't stay that way. We will move on somebody, which is why I keep mentioning Manu Kone, maybe a Stiller, because I can't see it being Scott, and I don't think it's going to, well, I don't think it's Tchouaméni. What about Polina? Well, yeah, let's go and get Polina on loan, a player that Spurs don't want to keep. I mean, as I say, if we're behind Spurs in the food chain, let's go and get Sanderberg, you know? Let's go and get Belaba. De Zerbi didn't want him, and he trained him. The season has not started yet and it's already ruined, says Stig. The incompetence of the board has made me lose all hope for the season. There is no desire, says Stig. Slazy says, which players do you feel have increased their market value the most during the World Cup? For me, it might be Patrick Berg or Nusa from Norway, says Slazy. I'd love Nusa at Man United. I don't know why we're looking at bloody Somerville. Nusa is 10 times the player and younger and will be better. But, you know, again, we're not looking at the right player. I can't see us signing a left winger with Rashford being here. Wouldn't be surprised if Carrick takes Rashford in. Do we have another yes man at the job, says Alan. I think Carrick's a yes man, yeah. I don't think that's even an insult. Jake says, come on you Spurs, you've been food chained. Rail's statement as shows control, says Harv. Yes, done that one. Thank you. Okay, look, I'm absolutely exhausted. I do think I need to get a couple of hours sleep. Let me tell you what's coming up for the rest of the day. We've got a 2 o'clock show, of course, from the studio. It's Australia against Egypt at 7 o'clock, which sort of messes up me doing an 8 o'clock show or a 7 o'clock show. So I'm actually going to do a 9 o'clock show on the United Stand tonight. So we'll be live at 9.
Unless there's extra time, in which case we'll be live a little bit later. But we are doing an evening show, but it's going to be somewhere between 9 and 10, depending on the Egypt-Australia extra time or not, which is live on That's Football. After that, I'm then doing the Argentina game at 11 o'clock. So that's what the plan is today. Big weekend on the World Cup as well. Just actually, World Cup watch. No minutes for Delo. No minutes for Mainoo. Bruno got subbed. Obviously, Ahmad's on his way home. I don't think it's been a particularly good... Casemiro is not a Man United player anymore. Edison's not getting any minutes. It's not actually been a great World Cup for Man United so far, has it? But look, in relation to Bruno, I think it's just Roberto Martinez is a shit coach. And effectively, I'm not that bothered. Cunha's doing well. Cunha's doing well, yeah. We use Bruno well. They don't know how to use Bruno. So, you know, I think that's what that's all about. Mazraoui's having a good World Cup as well. But my point about Bruno was, there was a point last night where I was like, well, Roberto Martinez doesn't know how to use him. You can see he's frustrated. If Portugal get knocked out, Bruno would actually be back in pre-season training by the end of the month. It's not going to happen now, but, you know, there would have been a bit of a positive. Mira says, we were speaking about a tier one, a tier two and a tier three midfielder. Now there is no tier one. It's totally gone. I think this is... I mean, I sort of was alluding to this yesterday when it was on the shelf. Not on the shelf. I was pointing at the shelf. I don't think there is a tier one Casemiro replacement now. I think they're all gone. You're right. I think they're all gone. Ryan says, can you shout out my friends Ryan, Webb and Steenie and ask them to come off Fortnite Duos? And that's from Ryan as well. Get off Fortnite Duos. What are you doing that? What are you doing on that at 10:58 in the morning? Get a life. Actually, I'm just off to play Fortnite Duos. Right. OK, thank you, everybody, for watching. That was a bit of a battle for me today because I'm I'm surprised I can get sentences out. I'm operating on hardly any sleep. I need to catch up. But thank you so much for tuning in, as always. We are back at 2. I will be back with a live show later on tonight after the Egypt-Australia game. I will speak to you all in a bit. Look, who knows? I think at some point, my positive... I'm going to try and end shows from now on with a positive thought for the day. Because there's a lot of negativity out there and it's not driven by us. That's driven by reality. My positive end for the day, I'm going to try and end every show positively from now on. My positive thought for the day is that at some point in the next few hours or days, Manchester United are going to land on the midfielder that we're actually going for. Now, you might not like the name of that, and it could be a Manu Kone, like I said, it could be an Angelo Stiller, it could be a Siddiqui from Sunderland. I don't believe it will be Alex Scott or Tchouaméni. I don't think those deals are doable for us. But at some point in the next few hours or days, we will find out who the real target is for Man United next. And we will be here to react. Thanks, everyone, for watching. Take care. I'm running out of words here. Stay safe, and I'll speak to you on the next one.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.